Yes, this is Coast to Coast AM, and wow, what an amazing couple of hours talking with Gary Heseltine, and I try to squeeze in as many conversations as I can, so I apologize for the last caller, but feel free to call back, and we will go into depth about what happened to you, and anyone can call in. We're doing open lines. It's Friday night, and by the way, Gary's website is Prufos, P-R-U-F-O-S. policedatabase.co.uk. And of course, it's linked up right now at coasttocoastam.com. And speaking of coasttocoastam.com, you should become a Coast Insider. And the reason why is because I get a lot of emails, and I know people miss some things, they miss a show. And if you want to tailor your experience to listen to any show that you want to, any time of the day, this service is for you. Sign up for a year. It's about 15 cents a day, and you'll get all of the information that you might have missed from one night or another. You can go back and listen to the old shows. It really is amazing. That's, again, all up there at coasttocoastam.com. Now, we're doing a special call-in line, a special line reserved for people who are in the police, and maybe they want to talk for the first time. We were lucky enough to get a sergeant from Washington, who told us that it is now restricted for people in his particular part of the world, police officers, to use the term UFO over the radio. Even if they see something floating over their heads, they're not allowed to report it. Now, this seems very strange because we put our trust in the police force to keep us informed and aware of everything that's going on. So why is there this particular discrimination when it just has to do with lights in the sky? Why is that forbidden all of a sudden? Shouldn't be that way. I really think that it should be regardless of what's happening. We want to know about it. We want a record of it because you never know what these things are. Maybe it's extraterrestrial. Who knows? Maybe it has to do with, who knows, North Korea. Could be anything in this day and age. So we're taking your phone calls. And the special topic line to call in, if you are on the police force and have some special information about UFOs, or if you are in law enforcement, we're going to save a line for you. It's 818-817-0021. Once again, it's 818-817-0021. Your phone calls right after the break. Welcome back to Coast AM. I'm Rob Simone, filling in for George Norrie, who will be back on Monday. And we're talking about the UFO phenomenon through the eyes of police officers for the first 2 hours. And we're still talking about UFOs in general, but we've have a special hotline set up if you are in law enforcement and want to tell us what's going on. How restricted are you in your town about reporting such things? Why is there such a clampdown? Why is it so dangerous? Shouldn't be. Imagine a world where the police were 100% on our side and not bound by any arbitrary restrictions, because it's getting to the point, it's 2012, that this external intelligence that has been knocking on our door and sometimes crashing through it for thousands of years will wait no longer. It's where the train is headed. So we'd like to be able to rely on the people that protect us, to help us through this. Who knows? Maybe the police officers will be the key in really opening up this phenomenon. As I said before, their testimony can convict someone of murder in a court of law. So it's extraordinarily important that we have them on our side for these countless UFO encounters, which are sometimes range in, oh, there's a light in the sky. And as we just heard, sometimes it's you wake up in a field somewhere. And this has been going on for decades. Let's go to the phones. They're lighting up like Christmas trees. Let's see. Let's jump over to New Hampshire, Keene, New Hampshire. Jason, first time caller line. Welcome to Coast AM.
Hey, how's it going?
Great. How you doing?
Good. Eating pizza.
Nice.
Nice. Is there your guest still there?
No, he was on for 2 hours.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, I guess I'll just tell you the story then.
Sure.
Well, it was back in like 86 or 87, around there.
All right.
It was like 7 or 8, and we're out in the backyard. It's 4th of July, and we're doing sparklers and little fireworks and stuff. And I was looking out across my backyard, and suddenly there was a blue X floating kind of towards me, kind of off to the side, but a little taller than I was. And it was kind of coming towards me, and it was each line was probably about a foot and a half long, and it was like electronic, kind of like real thin, and it was moving at about 2 miles an hour or something, and it traveled about 7 feet or so. And it was probably like 4 feet away from me when it disappeared. And the next thing, you know, I'm trying to ask everybody that was back there if they saw it, but nobody else saw it but me.
Bizarre. Never heard of that one before.
Yeah, I haven't heard anyone that, you know, can relate to that.
Yeah, now this was really close to you. What did it look like close up?
It was, you know, it was kind of like made of little blue circles, like real small ones that made up thin lines that made the X, you know?
Okay.
And that's all I know.
Wow. Well, it adds to the rich tapestry of UFO sightings.
Yeah, I figured I'd tell that story.
I love it. Thanks for calling in.
All right, thank you.
Okay. Hey, we have someone on the special law enforcement UFO hotline already, which is 818-817-0021. We have Tony from Slidell, Louisiana. Let me jump on. Let's see. I think you're on the guest line. Is that right? International. Welcome, Tony. How you doing?
All right. I wanted to say that in 1966, I was 16 years old, and some high school friends of mine and me went to a place called the Gravel Pits. There's hundreds of acres of sand pits where gravel's been taken out. And one night we got there about 11 o'clock at night and built a fire and was throwing cherry bombs in the water. And then a friend of mine was on a sand dune, and he yelled my name. He says, "Come over here, quick." And I went over there and lay down on the sand dune, and there was a space alien about 4.5 feet high. And he said, "Come on, let's get him." So I didn't want to get him. I didn't want to go after him, but I didn't want him to go alone either. So he rushed him, and I rushed with him. And by the time we got right down the sand dune to where he was at, he was gone. He just disappeared.
What did he look like?
Well, he was about 4.5 feet high. And you know that on that movie Independence Day with Bill Pullman?
Sure.
All right. Well, there had a bunch of those specimens in those formaldehyde containers in that show.
Okay.
And there was the gray one that had a triangular flat-shaped head. It's flat on top and triangular-shaped head. That's the one that I saw.
All right.
And so anyway, we heard it and ran to his car and got in it and was getting out of there. And in those days, everybody listened to WTIX radio. And the radio was already on. He started the engine. We took off, and it was reported as soon as we got going that on the radio that there was a UFO in the Sixth Ward area, which is where we were at. And there was a UFO spotted, but it's unknown where it landed at. So we didn't see the UFO, but we saw the alien.
Saw the alien.
It was a long time before we ever went back there again, but that's where a place where hundreds of people went on the weekends.
Yeah. These things are so random, aren't they?
Yes.
Yeah.
That's the only one I ever saw, you know, the only story I have.
Okay. Are you a police officer?
I'm retired.
Retired, okay. Well, I do appreciate that. You, sir, as a trained observer, your story, you know, adds that much more weight, so thanks for calling in with that. Well, let's keep going. Again, we have a special law enforcement hotline when it comes to the UFO phenomenon, and that's 818-817-0021. Let's jump over to San Antonio, Texas. Maria, welcome to Coast AM. Are you there?
Thank you for taking my call.
You're very welcome.
I appreciate you all for many, many years. I'm calling because this is something that seems to be going on for quite some time now. And I can only tell my story, but the stories I've just heard are familiar.
Okay.
Well, I don't know what other word to use, but familiar to me.
Okay. Well, what happened to you?
Well, since 4.5 years old, I have already I already knew that. Gosh.
It's okay.
I've never ever said this before in my life, so please excuse me for my.
It's okay. Just take a breath.
Okay. Since 4.5 years old, I knew there was a God. And this God, there were many things involved, not just what they said in church, but many more things.
Okay.
And my mother died, actually, at 4.5. And so I continued with him because that is where my mother went. And as time went on, I started seeing things. And the latest that I can remember to you and say to you is that it has to do with time and the fact that time is actually a commodity that can be dealt with. It's not a, how do I say it? We are not bound by time.
Mm.
In the spirit world, there is no time. And when you remove yourself from that, or relieve yourself from that, you begin to see the full picture, the forest instead of the trees.
Huh.
And what I mean by that is I've seen a lot of things that without time, without the boundaries of time, there are many things going on, and everything seems to play as a good thing, something very well for all of us. And I hear all this horrible, you know, just things that are going to happen that aren't so well, and on and on and on.
Yeah,
and on.
All the doom and gloom, yeah.
Right, right. But seriously, there is time plays a great factor in this.
Uh-huh.
If you're in this time, it's like the great Dalai Lama had said at one point in time. He said, I remember this specifically from his mouth. He said, oh, don't be sorry. Today you may lose, but tomorrow you may win. You don't know.
Yeah, in Buddhist philosophy, they say there is no good or bad. Only thinking
right.
makes it so.
Right. That's exactly.
It's a very Zen way of looking at things.
Exactly. And I'm a so-called Christian, but I will not listen to anything that is presented to me as Christianity because I see so much falseness. I see so much man taking the place of God and taking the honor that belongs to God for himself. Mm. So I know now that that is not a place to go.
Mm.
So I know that I'm on my own.
Yeah.
As many others know that too. They won't go to church. They won't go and, you know, worship the people who are singing like, I don't know, stars or whatever. Yeah. That's over with. The reality is consciousness. Just consciousness takes you where you need to go. And basically what I called to say is just that I am so hungry for you and everything you have to offer, your station. I have loved Art Bell for a long time, and I love all of you afterwards.
Oh.
And I pray to God that you continue in your strength to reveal what is as it is. Because there's no one else that I know of, and I have searched, that is declaring the truth.
Wow. Maria, that means a lot. Thank you so much. That is absolutely true, Coast to Coast AM, and it is really the voice, you know, of change, of truthers, truth seekers, and I know that I'm passionate about this, and I do think it is the absolute greatest radio show ever. Well, let's see if we can go back to the phone calls. It's they're piling up. Let's go to the wild card line. Daniel from Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Welcome to Coast AM.
Hey, how you doing?
Great.
I wanted to tell you, it was back in, this happened in Jersey, in South Jersey.
Okay.
And like the mid-90s, I was visiting my folks out there. And it was the wintertime. It was, I don't know, I guess around dusk. And it got real dark out. And the power went out. Then the power came back on. Then it went out again. It was creepy. And then there's not a whole lot of people live down the shore in the wintertime. So a couple of neighbors lived next door. They came outside where everybody was talking in the street. And we started seeing these things up in the sky.
Okay.
Like a whole bunch of them lining up.
What kind of things?
We couldn't tell at first. I mean, we couldn't really see, but they were just lights. And they were up in the sky, a bunch of them. At first, we thought they were planes. But then they were moving around, like really, really wild. And they were quiet. You know, planes make a lot of noise. So we kept seeing these things that kept lining up. And, I mean, this had to go on for 20 minutes, 25, maybe even half an hour. It was a long time.
Okay.
The man next door went outside to get a video camera, and he videoed stuff. The guy was an old guy. Matter of fact, one of his kids or his grandkids were in the Air Force, and he was all excited. He wanted to call him and everything.
Okay.
But then our power went out.
All right.
Again, and phones went out. And a couple of days later, in a newspaper down the shore, they said that somebody hit a telephone pole, which made the phones go out. Mm-hmm. And then they said they had a bad power outage. But they said it was the first Wednesday of the month. They said there's military maneuvers. And then they were saying there was helicopters or something dropping flares.
Mm.
And I tell you what, military planes make a lot of noise.
Oh, yes. They had those big engines.
I've never seen nothing like that. And I started listening to the show in 2004 and started hearing all kind of wild stuff. And I just wanted to share that with you guys.
No, I that's a great story because it reminds me of Phoenix Lights, where they said that massive V-shaped object was really just flares, little burning things on parachutes. It's an absurd cover story. And by the way, when I was working with Peter Gersten back in the 90s, for the UFO lawyer, for cause, we actually got an affidavit from Art Bell because he saw that very same type of V-shaped craft. It was right over his head. He signed an affidavit. We're going to use it for one of our court cases. And I mean, that's something that it's just one of these ubiquitous events. They happen everywhere. It's a common occurrence. And there's nothing that we can do to change the fact that these sightings are happening to everyday people. And as the first 2 hours demonstrate, sometimes they happen to people who are police officers. And we have a special hotline. If you are involved in law enforcement, call us on the special line. It's 818-817-0021. We'll hold that for law enforcement people who have a story to tell about the UFO phenomenon. Your phone calls coming up right after the break. My name is Rob Simone. Stay right there. Welcome back to Coast AM. And what a wild ride these past few hours. We had Gary Heseltine, a police officer who's collected hundreds of police reports from his fellow officers. And since then, just a lot of different phone calls. It's open lines. We have a special line reserved for people who are either in the police or law enforcement who have a story to tell about an on-duty experience, can help us sort of unravel the mystery when you have someone who is, a trained observer talking about these things, because it just carries that much more weight. The special call-in line is 818-817-0021, and we'll get to all the phone calls right after the break. Welcome back to Coast AM. Rob Simone here, filling in once again for George Norrie. It's an absolute honor to be here, and we're taking phone calls. And by the way, because I always get emails whenever I host about the music, I do pick the music that comes in. It's just It's just a thrill for me because for the past 10 years plus, I've been on the radio in London, and I've done these 2-hour talk shows with no commercials, and so I've always been talking on the radio. And so to get a chance to actually pick some music to me is great. And also, you know, lets you know my personality. It ranges quite a bit. And I know I'm going to get emails about it. In the first hour, I played a song called Arriving UFO from Yes, one of my all-time favorite groups. And it's off a little-known album called Tormato, which happens to be one of my all-time favorite albums in the world. Don't know why. My brother had it. I was listening to it. And it just clicked. And that was, I mean, I must have been, I don't know, 12. And I would literally play, and I still do, just play it over and over and over again. And it turns out I had good taste because, yes, it's one of those super groups. You know, they're all classically trained. And they had elements of jazz and everything. I just wanted to jump that in there. So I'll be picking various deep tracks over the course of my hosting. And I hope you get a kick out of them. Right. Well, let's jump back into the phones, because they are lighting up ever since we've been talking about these UFO experiences by police officers. And let's go right to Houston, Texas, east of the Rockies. Tommy, welcome to Coast AM.
Hello. My name is Tommy, and I live in Houston, Texas, on Greens Road. And May the 13th, 1993, I saw the V-shaped object, or what y'all call the boomerang object, with subdued green on the edges of the craft, and they were just flying over. I was outside waiting for the newspaper man to leave the papers, and I was just standing there leaning against the building, and these objects flew over me like in a formation, and they swooped up in the sky. They just were so fast, they swooped twice, and then they formed a huge, huge arrow in the sky with objects. And then all of a sudden, they went from that subdued green to a, like, they looked like football stadium lights, to a bright, bright white. And then the arrow broke up. They were gently leaving the object of the arrow and swirling down in a conal shape down to the ground. And I've never forgotten it.
Wow. I mean, that's amazing. I mean,
it was. Nobody believed me, you know.
No. This is, you're in good company now. Well, how close to the ground was it about?
Oh, it was not, you know, like an airplane close. It was pretty close to where I can almost reach up and touch them. It feel like
right.
They weren't that high in the sky.
Did you have any sensations like a static charge or any kind of other sensations?
No. Okay. I was just standing there waiting for the newspaper man to bring the papers, and I was just, you know, not expecting to see anything, and then this thing flies over me.
Right, broad daylight. Wow. And what do you think it was, looking back on it now?
I think it was, well, I don't believe in extraterrestrials. I believed in maybe angels, bad or good, they do need transport because they don't have wings.
Okay.
A lot of people think angels have wings, but they do not have wings.
All right.
So they need a transport of something to get to and from.
Right.
So I don't believe in extraterrestrial like ET or anything like that.
Right. Well, I appreciate you sharing the story.
Well, I'm very glad to finally be able to tell somebody. It's been almost 19 years.
Hey,
finally got through.
Yeah, feels good to say it out loud and once
it
and for
does.
All.
It really does.
Well, Tommy, thanks. Have a great night.
You're welcome.
All right. Bye now. Well, there you go. I mean, you know, that's the old question. People always say, what are these things? Where do they come from? Are they extra-dimensional, interdimensional? Are they just plain old ET? Or are they somewhat explained in these sacred religious books of ours? Because I don't know about you, but I think a lot of people have this sort of, you know, Renaissance idea in their mind when they think of angels. It's clouds and it's, you know, it's wings and all that kind of smoke and fire. But why not? I mean, if these ancient texts are a chronicle of what happened back in the day, and we accept that there is a divine nature to the universe, then any manifestation of that could come about in any which way. I mean, we are literally just coming out of our shell when it comes to a civilization. We're reaching out into the heavens. I mean, look at the Voyager, the first thing we sent on space. Right now, it's hurling out toward interstellar space. The first object that mankind has flung toward the heavens. It's taken a long time, but it's outside of the solar system, and it's winging along. It is the silent messenger. So, but when you look at it by those terms, we're just waking up. Let's go back to the phone lines here. Let's see. Let's go to Riverside, California. First time caller line. Angel, welcome to the program.
Hi.
Hi.
I have a question. I've been trying to call and ask for about 5 months now.
Wow. Okay.
I'm 35, and this happened when I was 17.
All right.
So I was one of those people that was up at night, and I slept during the day. And I had a family function to go to, so I was trying to get some sleep at the nighttime. I wasn't tired. Sorry, I'm nervous.
That's all right. No, we're just having fun. It's Friday night.
Okay. And it was 4 o'clock in the morning, and a show was coming on, and I rolled over and I closed my eyes, and I was listening to the theme song, and I heard this humming noise, and it got louder, and my eyes were closed, but the light in my room was getting brighter.
Huh.
So I tried to open my eyes, but I couldn't, and I tried to move and get up so I could look out my window, and I couldn't move, and I woke up, I was on a table, and my question is, everybody talks about the grays, but yeah. Mine were green, and I've done research, and I've talked to like-minded people, and they say that they're extinct. I lost a half hour of time when I was able to open my eyes and move again. The show was over, and it was rolling the end credits, and I don't remember much except for their fingertips were really flat, and they were touching my stomach. And they weren't talking. That's all I remember. But I want to know about greens versus grays, since I hear they're extinct, but that was my experience.
Okay. And these greens, did they look like grays except for their skin color?
Right, yes.
Okay. And what was the room like? Do you remember the environment on the table that you were on?
Sterile, very sterile, a lot of chrome.
Right. And no other residual traces from that event? No other missing times or other strange events?
No. Nothing. Huh,
right. Well, that's how these things happen, Angel. You know, as far as your question about the skin tone of the grays, I can tell you after researching this phenomenon for a couple decades, they really do come in all different shapes and sizes. Moreover, you'll see grays next to these tall people and these other sorts of humanoid type people, and you'll hear over and over again a mixture of things, and some of them are friendly, some of them are a little cold and sterile, like you say, and it happens to people just like you. No rhyme or reason, it happens, and maybe never happens again. What I would say is maybe give some thought, maybe talk to some people in your family. Reason being is because a trend in abductions is that it runs in the family. So if you got mothers or grandfathers or grandparents, maybe, you know, when the mood is right, ask them about it. But as far as a race of aliens, ETs being extinct, I don't know who could really answer that definitively. You know, you hear a lot of different opinions, and I don't know that that necessarily is, something that we can have that's reliable, that everyone, can agree on. But another amazing story. It just goes to show you that, anything is possible. And we hear this over again. Well, let's jump back. Oh, we have actually on our law enforcement hotline, we have Chris from Alabama. Thanks for calling in. Are you a police officer?
Yes. Yes, I am. I'm a federal police officer on an Army base, and I've been doing this stuff since 99. I joined the Air Force in 1999.
Okay.
And pretty much been attached to the military since I was a military brat.
All right.
And but in 1999, joined the Air Force, and 2002, while stationed up in Ellsworth, we have guard mounts and stuff, the security forces, Air Force security forces, we have guard mounts, and one of the OSI agents came in, and he was like letting us know that we had a specialty aircraft coming in inbound that night, and that we were pretty much going to shut down all the flight line lights off. So, you know, that kind of just rang a bell there, and I was like, well, that's kind of odd. And a lot of the other cops in the guard mount were like, yeah, what's going on with that? So we pretty much guarded just about all the aircraft and aircraft inventory, all the way from the stealths to the F-22s, seen the Raptors, and also the Predators down in Silver Flag, now in Nevada, on Indian Springs. So this was kind of odd for us. You know, why would they be doing stuff like that? Well, sure enough, about 2 o'clock in the morning, they shut down the flight line, and they wanted all us to get the maintenance guys in hangars and stuff. So we gathered all them up and got everybody in, and we let the desk know, you know, once we got these guys in there, that the coast is clear and this aircraft could come in. And me, you know, always being kind of wondering if there's stuff out there, you know, and, you know, just kind of being a little nosy.
Yeah, you had to take a peek.
We were told, you know, once we get these people in the hangars, we're not to go out. And one of the guys that were on my flight, you know, kind of was joking around with us. I said, what if we see anything? He said, if you saw something, you didn't see it, you understand? He got a little ugly with us. But, you know, knowing me, I just wanted to be a little nosy myself. So I peeked out of there while this aircraft was coming in, and had no noise, no sound, nothing. And there was a truck that went towards the north end of that runway and taxied that aircraft in. It didn't roll in. It didn't, you know, roll down the runway. It pretty much just hovered all in. And they took that aircraft into the hangar. And, of course, once we got off shift that morning, we drove by, and there was guys dressed in black BDUs with MP5s and sidearms and everything. And it just totally just baffled me, because it was something I'd never, ever seen. And that aircraft stayed in the hangar today. And the next night I worked, and the same thing, that agent came up again and said the same thing. This time of night, we're going to shut there, you know, the flight line down, all lights are going to go off, and the aircraft's going to taxi out. And if you saw something, you didn't see it.
How unusual is that to happen?
What was that?
How unusual is that for that kind of procedure?
Absolutely just way out there. Because, you know, I did plenty of deployments over the Middle East, and I talked with other Air Force guys, you know, Edwards Air Force Base, the test base, and they got a lot of neat stuff out there. And I've even talked to security forces that were stationed in Nevada, and they did special duty assignments to Area 51, and they were like, yeah, you know, they do special testing there, and then they take the aircraft to Edwards, and they do the testing at Edwards. But that was just way out there. Like I said, I've guarded the U-2 spy plane, F-22, stealths, anything in the Air Force inventory, I guarded it. But on this situation, it just baffled my mind. And ever since then, I've just been totally into it. And I've talked with other military, you know, law enforcement, security forces, Army MPs, and they've said the same stuff. You know, people see stuff all the time, but mm-hmm. they just can't explain it.
Yeah.
And that was just one of those situations that, you know, just, you know, I was like, really? You know, there's really something out there that they're trying to hide. They're trying
to, yeah.
They won't even let us see it. So I was like,
Didn't make a sound. And just floated down. Now, what did it look like? You remember the shape of it all, just out of curiosity?
It, like I said, there was a reason why they hit the stadium lights, you know, for out on the flight line. They didn't want anybody to see anything. It did have a front light on it, one white light on it.
Okay.
But, I was out, I peeked out, and I listened, and I didn't hear any aircraft jet engines. And, you know, Ellsworth has the B-1 bombers, which are really loud, but it had no engines. It was silent. It came in, and it dropped straight down out of the sky and came straight down the north end of that runway and just sat there.
Do you think it was a stealth fighter?
No. This, you know, when aircraft come in, they land, and then they roll down the runway, and then it taxi in. This thing just covered straight down and landed right at the tip of that. It never rolled. It never did anything. Wow. It just straight down.
Just dropped. So
I said to myself, you know, later on when you saw the drones and stuff, I said, could have been a drone. And then I think about it, most of those drones have propellers, and they make the hovering sounds like helicopters. Nothing. It had complete silence. So whatever they had was definitely something that, you know, they didn't want us to see, and it was definitely, you know, not your traditional military aircraft that they fly around that people see all the time.
Oh, yeah. Very exotic. And it's strange that there were these black uniformed guards there, too.
Oh, yeah. They were either special forces or black ops or something, but, you know, we carried the M4s and, you know, the Berettas, and these guys were carrying, you know, German-made MP5s and shotguns and Glocks, you know, that had the draw holsters and all decked out with all the gear. And I just thought to myself, I was like, whoa, these guys are for real. And whatever they got in the hangar, they definitely don't want us to see.
Yeah.
Yeah, they were told, oh, the hush, hush. We joked around, you know, some of the guys, we like joked around. I said, I don't care. You know, man, people got to know this stuff. I don't even know why they hide it, you know, because there's stuff out there. Why don't they just tell us, you know? And
yeah, well, I got to ask you, what Air Force Base was this again?
Ellsworth Air Force Base. It was in 2002, 2003.
2000, right, 2000, 2003. And yeah. As you say, that's very unusual for them to be all freaked out about it. But these things got to land somewhere. Do you have any inkling, like, where this thing was going? Or do you think that that's where this particular craft stayed or does stay still?
Well, I think they were transporting it somewhere. You know, they were moving it and it came in and it was just kind of like a touch and go type thing at that base. It was just there for a day and then it left. And the guys that were armed left with it, you know, I think they might have come on a Black Hawk helicopter or something, but they left with it and took off. But definitely, you know, the whole, I was in almost 7 years, and out of the 7 years that I was in, I never saw anything like that. And I always, to this day, thought, I was like, you know, that was definitely not something that I've ever seen or was in your traditional Air Force inventory for an aircraft. So
yeah. Do you think the Air Force has some sort of anti-gravity propulsion system?
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely. These guys got stuff down there at Area 51 and, you know, Edwards Air Force Base, all these test bases. They got stuff that, you know, they probably, you know, made or whatever's going on down there that, you know, they've had going on for years. Like, you know, everybody talks about the Stealth and the SR-71 where they were made a long time ago and they just came out with them, you know, later on down the line. Well, they got stuff now that, you know, it's flying around us right now that we probably don't even know it's flying around. They're probably, you know, cloaked and everything else. So
sure. There's
no telling what the military's got going. And I think it's kind of funny because I've been listening to the station and they talked about the hums and the booms and stuff around, you know, the world going.
Sure.
And then they had that incident where that guy was looking, I think it was Mercury, and they had the aircraft they thought was cloaked around that planet, and that the actual heat wave from the sun blew and it was kind of like thermometry. And it showed something show up on the screen.
Uh-huh.
And the guy was like, what is that? Well, you know, if there are extraterrestrials and wearing all these booms, there's no telling what's going on underneath Earth or, you know, out and about. These things could be cloaked flying around us right now. We wouldn't even know it.
Yeah. Well, Chris, thank you for your service. And thank you for calling in on the special hotline we have set up. You're listening to Coast to Coast AM. My name is Rob Simone. More right after the break.